Right now it is time for Brian Ross to join us at Real News. Brian joins us on a Thursday morning at this time, and we take a look at stories going on throughout the world. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning to you, Marshall.
Well, the couple, the sheriff deputy and the escapee, it ended like I think most people thought it would end, with somebody dying. But, you know, Brian, I listened to that the released audio tapes now, and, boy, it doesn't sound to me like she committed suicide.
Oh, interesting. You think there was something else there?
Huh? Well, I don't know. I mean, just guessing, because she was talking on the phone, of course, excited and upset, and talked about the accident. But then as she was talking, it just ended, and you didn't hear any gunshot or anything like that. I'm no investigator, but I know that it just didn't sound like a call that ended with a suicide.
Well, we'll know, because certainly an autopsy will detect the bullet and the kind of casing was there, and we'll know for sure. I don't know why the police chasing her in Indiana would want to kill her, but unless she was pointing a gun at them.
I'm not sure that the police would want to kill her. I thought all along that, you know, when you fall in love with a hardened criminal, sooner or later, guess what? You have a very good chance of becoming part of his next crime. I'm not laughing.
Yeah, he's going nowhere, that's for sure. What motive he's had, who knows? But it certainly captured the attention of the country. And why is that? Why are we so interested in such a thing? We've seen movies of the same thing, and here it is in real life. It's a sad story, frankly, when you think about it. This woman looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah, and it ended like most things like that end. Yeah, no, it's a sad story. The reason we like it, well. Because we're America. What can I say? I think as a kid, my father always used to say, as a kid, I used to watch the figure eight demolition derbies. And one day he came in and saw me watching. He turned it off. He said, "Why on earth would you watch something and want to see people crash? Can you tell me?" And I couldn't tell him. morbid curiosity. So,
well, it's made a lot of money for NASCAR.
It's made a lot of money for
now. You know, the Clear the Decks will be back for the Johnny Depp trial next week, so we can get our attention riveted on that.
Yeah, absolutely amazing what goes on. Well, anyway, I guess we can turn our attention. It's very interesting. The more and more this story with Ukraine goes on, with Russia and Finland now immediately wanting to join NATO, And here's the problem that Russia has. Russia now warned Finland over NATO membership. By Russia responding this way and doing what it did, it's writing its own book on Finland joining NATO. I mean, it forced the issue.
Without a doubt, talk about a, remember early on we had certain former presidents of this country saying what a masterstroke and a genius move he was. Not at all. I mean, Putin has played this hand about as poorly as you can imagine, defeat after defeat on the battlefield. And strategically, you know, in terms of the effort was to push back the West, it's the other way. They are encircling him. And you wonder if he feels, it's threatened. And, that's the only thing I think of great concern.
You know, and after Finland, you know Sweden's going to join. You know it. And so now his borders are even tighter controlled and with closer NATO members. And it's all because of this cockamamie plan to do what they wanted to do in the Ukraine. And this Ukrainian war, all wars end with either a victor or negotiation, period. I mean, if they're going to end, that's how they end. But as we saw in Afghanistan, as what the Russians saw in Afghanistan, wars can go on for 10, 15, 20 years.
Well, and we're seeing, from certainly we know what the U.S. and allies are spending to resupply the Ukrainians. So we have to assume the other side that Russia is going to bankrupt itself trying to keep up with the spending of the West to match, weapon for weapon. It's going to be that kind of battle. At some point, We'll see who's got the deeper resources.
It reminds me back when Ronald Reagan was president. Most people, Russia, basically, we outspent Russia and put Russia in the position it was in. And that's why I can't understand why Putin didn't see that happen before and it would happen again. I don't understand.
Huge miscalculation that perhaps felt that Joe Biden was weak, NATO and the U.S. were at odds, they wouldn't do anything, they wouldn't want to get involved. So, a major miscalculation, without a doubt. I don't think there'd be any words about it, and the victory day at the beginning of this week across Europe and in Russia, of course, there was no victory to celebrate in Russia. And, and he sort of, in his speech there, he was defiant. But he was less threatening than he had been before. Everyone's trying to read into what he meant, what he said. But as you're saying, the miscalculation is enormous.
And it's hard now. It's hard to look at Vladimir Putin and actually take for serious anything he says with what happened leading up to what happened in Ukraine and what's gone on since then. I mean, basically, the man has changed the face of Europe probably forever now.
Well, forever's a long time, but without a doubt, this is a change. It's changed the structure there of how they see themselves, and Russia was not seen as a threat before. Now it is, and clearly, Finland, Sweden, Norway—they all, they're aware of what could happen, and by joining NATO, they sort of assure that really he can't take them on, and I think he's going to realize that sooner or later. And the question, I think, talking to people who are real experts on this is, what is it, what's the strategy, what's the off-ramp that Putin needs or will use to stop this?
Right now I think he's got many miles to go till he gets to an off-ramp unless actually advisors let him know what's going on. And that's really not possible under a leadership like that.
Right, and you have to look and see, are there going to be people in Russia who think that it's time for Putin to go? In a dictatorship like that, sometimes it's overnight. The coup happens and he's gone. That would be the end.
It's just so interesting to look how the face of a war has changed. It's absolutely amazing. You can have all the armored divisions, all the carriers, all those things that you want, and in the area of drone warfare, it's very hard right now if you have drones and you have, like you say, the Union backing up Ukraine with supplying the weapons. You can have all the mechanical and mechanized equipment that you want, the fanciest boats that you want, and ships. And you know what? It's a different type of warfare now. I hope the world learns this, and China and the United States learn this, is that you can have all these these big pieces of equipment, and it's a total different battlefield now, both on the sea and on land. The only thing that's not changed are submarines. But other than that, the look at war on the face of it is totally changed by what's going on in Ukraine.
Right, and even at sea, submarines, yes, but the value of those big flagships like the one that was sunk by the Ukrainians, the Russian flagship, you wonder about our huge investments in aircraft carriers, whether that is really an outdated notion as well. I think the whole notion of warfare and how it's best approached, is called into question. We're seeing, what happens in the 21st century, as you say, drones, light and limber is, really going to win the day.
Yeah, you look back to the Falkland Islands, you would think that countries would learn. Britain lost one of their major warships in the Falkland Islands, not even to something as technical as they have today, but to an Exocet missile. An Exocet missile against an aircraft carrier nowadays and stuff like that would literally bounce off and explode and not sink it. But nobody learned from the Falkland Islands war that, Britain lost that battle, lost one of their heavy cruisers,
yeah,
to an Exocet missile, one single Exocet missile. These, it, it, these countries just don't learn. Better to spend that money on people, I think, than building more aircraft carriers. But anyway.
Right, and you're absolutely right. But I think one of the lessons from this war is we're spending, in this country, we are spending billions of dollars with very few questions being asked, resupplying Ukraine. But from the point of view of the military-industrial complex, these are golden days again. After we thought that, you know, with Afghanistan over, that perhaps the U.S. would pare down its defense spending, change priorities, that's not happening.
All right, I'm going to play Ask a Question of you and give me your honest opinion on this.
All right.
And the question is, do you believe this statement? North Korea identifies its first case of COVID-19.
Good question. You know, I probably do reckon probably the first 100 cases. And since there's no vaccine there, stand by for terrible things in North Korea.
Well, yeah, because they have problems feeding their country anyway, and things like that. And Russia has pitched in to say they're going to help with their Sputnik. But, you know, we're finding...
Good luck with that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're finding out with our own vaccinations that there are side effects. I think, you know, a lot of people just don't understand it. When you have a vaccine, there are side effects. And you learn more about the side effects as it goes on. So you know, as an investigative reporter and somebody who has been covering trials and investigations, this Depp trial can't end soon enough for me.
Well, there is a huge fascination in this case, much as there were with the couple, you know, the inmate and the prison official. Doesn't stop. And you do wonder why either Depp or his ex-wife, Amber, what they thought they were going to gain with this, if the whole thing was to salvage their reputation. I think it's been counterproductive for sure. I mean, the tawdry and detailed revelations about their life, their drinking, their drug abuse, their violence. As you say, you're like, oh, my God. Everything we thought about crazy Hollywood couples is coming true. Yeah.
Amazing times we're living in, Brian. Amazing times.
Indeed. Huge viewership, I can tell you that, for the trial. A lot going on. People are paying close attention. And I guess it's kind of a diversion from bigger, more serious problems.
Well, especially here with inflation out of control and the political season already heating up, and the Supreme Court, so maybe it is a decent diversion. I don't know. All right, Brian, we will speak to you next week.
Always good to be here, and have a great day.
All right, take care, Brian Ross, and Real News here on the Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio.